Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Jim Bloom knows firsthand the struggles men face when they're paroled from prison. And that's what led him to found My Father's House, which offers a place for men on parole to find help, find support. And, Jim, good to have you with me. Thanks.
Thank you, Al.
How long were you in prison for?
I was in prison for 20 years here in the state of Colorado.
Wow. That's a long time. Tell me what happens. You tell me. What is that like?
Well, it's very difficult, obviously. I went to prison as a young man, a secular man, a very sort of immature and arrogant young man.
Yeah.
And in my time in prison, I kind of grew up. I found my faith through the help of my grandfather, especially, and just through reading and prayer. And I grew up in prison, and it was a very difficult time, but also a very transformative time.
Yeah. I had a brother who spent 2 years in prison. I visited him there, and it's a very difficult place. 20 years must change the way you view the outside world.
Yeah, absolutely. And just change the way that you view life. I mean, it's been my experience that young men who go to prison for a short period of time don't always experience a big change. But,
right.
when I first went into prison, my thought was, my sort of mindset was, okay, I'm going to get through this so that I can get back to my life.
Yeah.
But at some point, probably about 4 or 5 years into this sentence, I figured out this actually is my life.
Right.
And if I don't start living here, I'm going to miss this. I mean, I have an opportunity. I mean, I have to figure out how to grow here. I have to figure out how to live in this place and live a life here.
When you got out of prison, did you have family that received you back gladly? Did you have a community that you were able to become part of?
Absolutely. So one of the big advantages I had is that all through the time that I was in prison, my family was very supportive and loving towards me. They obviously were not supportive of the what I had done,
sure.
but they treated me like a human person. And my mother and father visited me every month, and also siblings. So I had that love and support, letters and visits. Towards the end of my prison stay, I made contact with a group within the Catholic Church called Communion and Liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And those folks started to come and visit me as well within the last about 5 years.
Nice. Yeah.
And so when I got out, my mother had provided a place for me in her home. And so I had her support and the support of my family in addition to the support of the Communion and Liberation movement.
I've heard people speak about this before, and of course you see it in movies too, that when people who have been incarcerated for long periods of time, when they get out, that the freedom that they now have is difficult to adapt to. Is that true?
It is. I don't know that the freedom is difficult to adapt to, but the world had changed dramatically. When I went to prison, people had these little brick cell phones, and when I got out, there were smartphones. When
yeah.
I went to prison, the internet was pretty new.
Yep.
And, I get out, and the world is just racing at 100 miles an hour. And so things had definitely changed, and it took some time. But, the other piece is, when you're in prison, it's an entirely different sort of a community atmosphere, if you want to think of it that way. When you get out into the world, there's a lot going on, and it can become the pace is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
While you're in prison, do you have to be super vigilant? Do you live in fear?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a very dangerous place to live. And, you know, you're constantly aware. I saw things that you wouldn't want to know about.
Yeah.
And yeah, you wind up hypervigilant, for sure.
Does that stick with you for a long time after you come out?
Yeah, I've been out for 6.5 years, and it's still with me to some extent.
Wow, okay.
I don't know that it'll ever go away to some extent. I mean,
right.
Certainly I'm doing much better now than when I first got out. But the other day I had to go to the airport, and there's a lot going on there, a lot of people. There's a lot of activity, and I'm trying to figure out where I'm going. And all of a sudden, you know, my heart starts to race and the adrenaline starts to pump.
Yeah.
It can be difficult, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Talk to me about starting My Father's House.
So when I was in prison, I was involved in ministry there. I was doing Bible studies with guys. I lived in at the end of my sentence, I lived in a private facility that had a faith pod. And so there was a non-denominational program going on there that I was a part of. But also in the afternoons, when the program was not running, I was doing Bible studies with guys. And the priest at the facility actually asked me to help the guys study for their RCIA and scan for their sacraments. I have 5 godsons
nice.
That I've stood for. And when I got out, all of a sudden, all that's gone. Because when you're on parole, you're not allowed to have contact with any other felons.
Oh.
It's against the rules.
Interesting.
And so now that whole thing is just gone. And I began to talk with my parole officer about that, and she said, well, what would you like to do? And I said, well, I'm looking forward to getting off parole so I can found a ministry. And we talked about that a little bit, and finally she said, well, what if I was to give you permission to start now? I said, that'd be wonderful. So I actually started this ministry while I was still on parole. I'm off parole now, but I was still on parole at the time. At first I thought about founding a ministry that would mostly be about teaching the faith,
uh-huh.
but then I noticed that, you know, the men that I was dealing with have real practical needs. And so the biggest one is housing. Jobs and housing are both very difficult, but to find decent housing for a felon in this country is very difficult. Because
really?
When you go to apply, many times the answer is no.
Is it legal to say no?
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. There's no protected class for felons, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, landlords can just say no. At least in Colorado they can. I don't know the laws across the state or across the U.S.
Sure. Wow.
And, you know, there's a situation for many men in prison where the parole board will say to them, you can go. You're paroled and you're allowed to leave prison and start your parole. But you can't go until you have an address to go to. You
Ooh.
Can't get out homeless.
Yeah.
And so there are hundreds of men sitting in prison in Colorado today who could get out if they had somewhere to go.
Yeah. I would imagine...
You know, in my father's house... Go ahead.
Well, I would imagine that many people have kind of burned their bridges with family members. And while they might be able to repair them in the future, they haven't been able to repair them while they were... incarcerated, so that would be
that's right. Honestly, many times for good reason.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In addition to that, you also have men who've been in prison long enough that all the people that they know have either died or are very elderly, and just can't provide that for them anymore.
Right. Yeah. So, does My Father's House have a physical plant or a facility that they can provide housing?
We do. So. We have 2 houses in the Denver area. We have just 4 beds in each house, so a total of 8 beds. But we want to provide a family atmosphere. We're not interested in becoming just another institutional facility.
Right.
And so we provide, each man has his own room, and we're providing other kinds of services, helping them find a job, helping them with transportation, food and clothing when they first get out, helping them with training that would help them, like communications training, financial literacy training, and if they need some sort of vocational training, sometimes we can help with that. In addition to that, what we really want to do is to provide a community of support and love to show them that they are lovable and that it's okay to be open to that. Every Sunday night I get together. We have dinner with the men in a sort of a very family setting.
Yeah.
And we just sit and talk and enjoy each other's company. But yes, there's two houses here in Denver that are our home base.
Do you need more houses? In other words, are you providing a service which is kind of underserviced, underfunded? I don't know how.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I'm just curious to know. So the need is much greater than you're able to provide at the time.
That's right. I mean, as I say, I've got 8 beds. I've got 100 men who've written to me and are currently on my wait list.
Wow.
Many of whom, if I said tomorrow, I have a bed for you, within a couple of weeks, the parole board would set a date and they would get out. So they're just waiting for a bed.
Good heavens.
I could fill 5 more houses easily. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing.
But it's a matter of funding.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I hope somebody listening out there picks up on this. I mean, the idea that there are men waiting to be released from prison, but they just don't have an address to go to, is really got to be terribly frustrating.
Right.
So, well,
very debilitating, yeah.
All right. Well, in fact, let's go ahead and how can people stay in touch with you then? You have a website?
So we have a website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our website is... It's a little bit long. It's myfathershousedenver.org.
Okay.
So there's a lot of organizations called My Father House, and so ours is myfathershousedenver.org.
Yeah, make sure Denver's in there.
We are a 501c3, so mm-hmm. if people donate, it is tax deductible. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like an extraordinarily important ministry. Tell me about some of the men that you've served, what they're doing now, and, you know...
Yeah, so we've had 39 men go through our program. Not one of those men has ever returned to prison for committing a new crime.
Wow.
We have a 0% recidivism rate at My Father's House.
Huh.
We're very happy about the success of the men. That's not my success, that's their success.
Yeah.
And those men they're moving forward with their lives. They've reconnected with families. I've had men whose families told me, you know what, we don't want any contact with this guy. We're not interested. And yet over time, we were able to heal the man to a point where he gets back in contact with family and they're able to reconnect. We've, you know, helped men. Many men, of course, have moved on and they have their own apartments at this point. Their own homes. They have new careers, not just jobs. We've got one man who's setting to be an electrician. We've got much beautiful success that's happened. We've been in existence for 5 years, and. With many more years to come, we hope.
Well, that's beautiful. Are men required to engage in any kind of prayer group, spiritual activity, liturgy, or is that simply left up to their own development?
Yeah, I think that to try to require that sort of it goes against the, I mean, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
To try to make people do that.
Yep.
I do certainly invite them to do that. I try to help them as best I can. They
yeah.
realize that my motivation is based in my faith.
Sure.
And, I encourage them to choose a church and to practice faith and religion.
Yeah.
I am working currently with my own, an assistant pastor at my own church who's going to be coming and starting a Bible study at the house.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That'll be voluntary.
Yep.
So, but at least offer an opportunity for the guys.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's marvelous. I mean, it's great making your acquaintance, Jim. I did not realize the work you were doing there. And let me encourage people to follow up by going online to myfathershousedenver.org. Make sure you get the Denver in there. Myfathershousedenver.org. Take a look at what Jim and his team are doing there. And let's talk again in the near future, okay?
Great. Thank you so much, Al. It's been good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. We'll have, of course, contact information linked at avimiraradio.net and the Cresta Guest Archive there. But, the recidivism is a chronic problem. And the fact that he's able to say that he's dealt with 37, 39, with no recidivism, wow, it's amazing.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare.